All right, on this episode of Bouks Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 41, and that transpires on April 29th. It's a very intriguing bout as Dan Spawn and Chris Camozzi get out there to test skills, and great getting to have Chris on the show. How's everything going, man? You having a good day so far?
Yeah, it's great. I just left strength and conditioning at Landau Performance, and yeah, now I've got a little bit of a break.
And I mean, it seemed like you were very excited, understandably so, after the, you know, debut and everything in BKFC. And you had a post, though, where you were saying that was the only fight on my contract. And you were saying, like, to, you know, get the fans, like, you know, rallying behind you and let them know, like, when you want to see you back in the fold and everything like that. So I guess to that point, like, when did the call for this, like, sophomore BKFC bout kind of come your way?
Let's see. I heard about it. It's been a few months. We didn't fully finalize the deal until maybe about a month ago. It took a little bit of time, but yeah, you guys are coming back to Denver, and I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, and that seems to have like a strong connection to you. Like anytime you fight in Denver, I mean, you're obviously very motivated in a general sense, but it seems to embolden a little something extra getting to fight in Denver. Can you speak to that? Like, why is that the case, you would say?
You know, just growing up here, I've got a lot of friends, family, and fans here. You know, this is my city, so everybody's gotten to fight in my city, like, later in my career is always exciting to me, especially at, like, the big arenas.
Yeah, and I mean, I did kind of briefly reference the debut there, but just thought to, you know, get some insights on that. I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't. I felt like that was what the, you know, consummate debut effort would be, at least from my layman perspective, like getting that, you know, first round finish in less than 40 seconds at BKFC 31 over Bubba McDaniel. Can you kind of talk about that one, like any main takeaways from that bare knuckle debut?
We were on the right track as far as training. You know, that was my coach's first bare knuckle fight. That was the first one from our gym. We got Kurtz and Copeland out of my gym too. All three of us made our BKFC debuts the same night. So it was a first for our gym, coaches, everybody. But it just proved, you know, with everybody's performance that night that we're on the right track, doing the right things. Because my coach, you know, his background is in boxing. His name is Jake Ramos, and he's got a long background in boxing, but never bare knuckle boxing. So, ideas, different ways to change how we throw our punches and everything to make sure that we're hitting the knuckles and not breaking hands. So that was a little bit of a learning process in the beginning, but yeah, it all worked out great, and I really enjoyed fighting without the gloves.
And what would you, I mean, you talk about how the preparations really paid dividends on that initial card. I'm curious, though, if, like, any adaptations were made leading into this, you know, second fight. Like, does this sophomore BKFC camp differ at all from the first one? Or is it more of a, you know, if it's not broke, we don't have to fix it kind of situation?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But just sharpening everything even more. The more time I spend boxing, the better I get, obviously. And now just focusing purely on boxing has been great. You know, when you fight MMA and train MMA, there's never like enough hours in the day, because you got to do jiu-jitsu, you got to do striking, strength and conditioning, you got to wrestle. There's so many different aspects to the game that it's hard to get it all in a week. So now just focusing on boxing the last, like, I don't know, year, maybe even a little more, has just helped me make bigger strides by only focusing on, you know, we all have two hands, so footwork, mitt work, sparring, that's about it. So that stuff's easy to get in, you know, two training sessions a day when you're used to doing MMA.
And something I've also heard from MMA fighters who've crossed over into BKFC is just how much easier the camp is on the body in a certain regard. Just, I mean, some of the wear and tear one gets from, you know, consistent grappling and things like that. Have you also noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, nobody's really pulling on my neck trying to choke me, or my knees aren't getting bashed up wrestling. you know, as I get older, it gets a little bit harder. I can still do MMA. Obviously, I still train at the gym and outside, do jiu-jitsu and all. When you're in camp for an MMA fight, it's really taxing on your body. Something always hurts with training just boxing and training for bare knuckle. My body feels so much better.
It's interesting. I mean, you're still actively training in MMA from what you just said. Does that mean that we can see more MMA fights in the future from Chris Camozzi? Or are you thinking the focus will mostly be allocated to bare knuckle? I mean, you've obviously done some, you know, other combat sports too, beyond that, like some, you know, kickboxing and stuff like that. Like, what does the, I guess, path look like in that kind of regard? Like, are you mostly, I guess, prioritizing bare knuckle at this juncture? Or could you see some more MMA action if, you know, things line up in a certain way?
You know, I've never stated it one way or the other if I'm done with MMA or anything. Right now, bare knuckle, I did another one fight deal. You know, I asked him about a multi-fight deal, and we haven't come to terms with that yet. So nothing's closed yet. I mean, I'll go wherever the money is. If a big MMA fight comes up and I like the opportunity and the opponent and everything, I'm just looking to do stuff that I enjoy right now. You know, either fun matchups. Bare knuckle was fun, new, fresh for me. So that, like, that's been a lot of fun. And it just kind of keeps my mind going. Through my whole career, I've like switched it up a little bit. Like when I went to Glory for a couple years, it was fun to just focus on kickboxing. And then I went back to MMA. You know, I don't mind bouncing around. I want to do it all before I hang up the gloves or no gloves, whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't mind, you know, boxing for Triller or somebody, like a real boxing fight. Just to say, you know, I did it and look back at my career, like checked all this and got to do all the opportunities I wanted.
Yeah, I love the mindset and everything like that. And I guess to your point of, I guess maybe seeking out a more like multi-fight oriented kind of arrangement, is that oriented to like a title pursuit, like trying to create like a run whereby you could get a crack at the title? Because I was seeing an article kind of like just after your debut where you were kind of like eyeing, you know, Lorenzo Hunt, like articulating that a cruiserweight title shot in the future would be something you have your eyes on. So is that kind of the mentality, like with the multi-fight deal there, or just more of wanting to have an insured, I guess, consistent schedule competing?
Both, actually. You hit it on the head. Obviously, any promotion I fight for, I want to be champion. You know, that's why we do this. And when my last conversation with Feldman when we got this fight worked out was that he would be making me an offer for a multi-fight deal that included, you know, title pay and all that in there, as long as I do my job and get myself there. So, yeah, I mean, Lorenzo Hunt's definitely my sights.
So is that what, you know, this fight represents?
What's that?
Oh, sorry. I guess it cut out on my end there. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying?
Oh, I can repeat it. I was saying, yeah, definitely title aspirations. Any promotion that I fight for, I'm looking to be champion. You know, that's why I do this. And bare knuckle title is definitely in my sights. When I spoke to Feldman and we got this deal done for this fight, he told me that he'd be offering me a multi-fight deal with title pay and stuff in there as long as I do my job and get there. So, yeah, Lorenzo Hunt, I think, right now is the best guy in bare knuckle because he's got two belts. He's got a ton of wins. I think he has one loss. And I think that he's already kind of beat everybody in the division. And I'm new here, but I've been fighting forever. You know, I've got a name and everything else that comes with it. So I think putting together another knockout win here should get me that title shot.
Yeah, so this kind of performance is, you know, or rather getting that multi-fight deal per what you were saying with that Dave Feldman conversation, like this performance is almost, you know, predicated on getting that multi-fight deal. Is that what you were kind of outlining there?
No, I mean, he said that he'd be sending it over. I don't think it's reliant on this fight or anything, but for me, I don't mind doing one-fight deals and betting on myself because I think multi-fight deals actually benefit the promotion usually. Because the more I win, the more money I'm going to want, obviously, because that fight will sell itself even more. If I go out there and knock out Dan Spawn right away, of course people are going to want to see me fight Lorenzo Hunt. And without having that deal done before the fight, I'm going to want a lot more money than I would have probably.
yeah, I mean, for sure. I get what you're saying. I guess I was more just, like, wanting to make sure that I, you know, didn't have that misconstrued. I mean, I guess that's, you know, a promising sort of thing, because definitely, you know, a great addition to the cruiserweight division. And I guess to that point, like, I mean, very much aware of Lorenzo Hunt, as indicated from, you know, that article I just cited. You strike me rather as a guy that would be, like, you know, pretty studious of the field in general, like, not overlooking this next opponent, obviously, but, like, what would the, I guess, familiarity level be with some of the other, you know, ranked cruiserweights right now, like guys like Quentin Henry and Gustavo Trujillo, Houston Alexander, etc.?
You know, I've seen most of them fight, I believe. I've seen Henry fight a couple times. Who else did you mention? There was one name I didn't recognize in there. What other two did you mention?
Gustavo Trujillo and Houston Alexander, who are 2 and 3, respectively, right now.
I'm familiar with Gustavo Trujillo, is that what you said?
Yeah.
And then Houston Alexander, yeah, I mean, I asked for that fight before. I wanted to, you know, with Houston being in Omaha, I'm in Denver, we're real close, so I was like, let us headline a show, you know, between there, because you can draw in both cities. We're driving distance. But, you know, that one, they threw Dan Spahn at me, which I was surprised, you know. I didn't know that he was interested in bare knuckle. I keep some of these guys that are bare knuckle veterans, and I keep getting the MMA guys. I asked for Henry also. I asked for that Anthony Holmes, who won the, I don't know, whatever, European belt. I've asked for most of the top guys and didn't get a response.
I mean, the Houston fight is kind of an interesting one, to say the least, just talking about how that was one you were kind of having your eyes on, at the very least, and could be an interesting situation because he has a fight coming up, obviously, at BKFC 43 in May. So it could be one of those situations where, you know, if both you and Houston get the ideal outcomes, maybe that could represent, you know, the next fight. Is that kind of what you'd be, I guess, hoping for?
We'll see. You know, I'm into it, but it'll depend on my performance, his performance. I think if I have another, like, spectacular performance with a quick knockout, I might be looking to get that Hunt fight rather than Houston. But, you know, I don't mind taking that one either.
And it was kind of interesting, you were talking about how you didn't necessarily expect this opponent in a certain sense, like, in as far as you didn't know Daniel Spahn's, I guess, willingness to want to do bare knuckle, or that it was even on his radar, I guess, would, you know, be the way to phrase it. Like, why did you think that necessarily? Was it just more of a byproduct of mostly thinking he was focusing on MMA, or, like, what, I guess, surprised you about all of that?
Oh, just said, you know, I know Dan. I've known him for a while. With guys not being in bare knuckle yet, you kind of have no idea until they get signed, just like when they signed Rockhold, you know. I think everybody was surprised, like, oh man, just because he wasn't even talking about it, mentioning it, lobbying for it. Same with Dan, you know, I never heard him say the words bare knuckle ever before, so obviously I'm super familiar with him. When they said his name, I don't have to look him up or anything. Him and I were just in the PFL tournament together a couple years ago. So, yeah, it's just, I guess, you never know which guys from MMA are interested in crossing over until they do.
Yeah, for sure. And there are those certain parallels, too. Like, you mentioned the PFL involvement in the 2021 season, and also him being a former Ultimate Fighter competitor, albeit in a different season there and everything. I mean, how do you, I guess, maybe go about curating a game plan for this one? Because, like you said, bare knuckle is a very, you know, curious kind of sport in a lot of ways. Like, it's like people from glove boxing coming over and MMA and stuff like that. And as much as you can maybe tape study a bit, it's like still a different sport, and he's getting ready to, you know, kind of embark on his debut here. So I guess, how do you go about curating that game plan? Is it just solely focused on, you know, what you're doing and implementing your game plan more so?
Yeah, for the most part. Even in MMA, I don't game plan very much. I watch a little bit of tape, but I don't focus too much on my opponent. I always just focus more on me, like sharpening everything I've got and you know, coming in as my best self, because I think when I'm on my best, that nobody will beat me.
And it's kind of interesting too, because as much as this is your, you know, sophomore BKFC fight, it's like the first one just kind of, you know, went so quickly. I mean, it seemed like you were almost wanting a quicker finish though, based on like an interview you sort of did after the fight there and everything like that. Does this almost, I mean, it's kind of curious because you have gotten a certain level of ring time. Like, are you a guy that would almost like rather having like that bit of ring time to get your proverbial feet underneath you, or do you not even look at it like that? Does this very much feel like a, does it feel like a sophomore effort almost in a certain regard? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. No, I mean, I'm not worried about the ring time. I've got hours and hours and hours of ring time in, you know, kickboxing rings, MMA, striking is striking at the end of the day. I never even thought about going in there without the gloves any different, because when it comes down to it, I've never gone into an MMA fight and been like, okay, good thing he's got a glove on. I don't mind if he hits me. My yeah. goal is always to hit and not get hit. And yeah, I mean, we don't get paid by the minute. We don't get paid by the round. So if I could go 10 fights with being in there 20 seconds each, I'm good with that. I'm not looking to get the extra ring time and damage.
Yeah, totally fair. Definitely, you know, well articulated for sure, man. But something that I, you know, thought was kind of interesting and really just think is interesting in general. Like, it seems like such an intriguing, like, market for, I guess, guys who are, you know, free agents right now. Like, you were talking about Luke Rockhold before, and I feel like there's a few other guys that BKFC has courted over the years, and just seems like a generally interesting market in general for free agents. And I was kind of checking out, like, a Reddit AMA you did a few years back, and, you know, people were kind of talking about, like, oh, man, you got some big balls fighting Jacare twice on short notice, and you're like, oh, man, I'd do it again. Like, do certain individuals like that who are out there kind of intrigue you for matchups, just with Jacare having relatively recently fought Vitor Belfort in boxing? Like, is there anyone who has a level of free agency out there on the landscape right now, or who could, I guess, become a free agent in the near future that you're, I guess, intrigued by, or are you not really thinking about that as much?
I haven't thought about it too much. You know, I'm always open to it. Even my entire UFC career, I've never said no to opponents. So I'm game to fight anybody. As long as the money matches the opponent, you know, I'll fight just about any weight, anybody. And, yeah, I haven't looked at it too much. I saw Jacare boxing. I thought he looked great in there against Vitor. You know, obviously, I would say yes to any of those.
Yeah, to show so many cool options are out there nowadays, which I imagine is intriguing for, you know, someone like yourself. But something else that I thought was kind of interesting there, I was noticing that your forever Valentine is getting ready to, you know, throw down herself there in an influencer boxing tournament, and it seems like it's a week before your fight, per an article I was reading. How has that whole process been and everything like that with, you know, Whitney John readying to get in there and, you know, put on the gloves and all that?
It's been good, you know, since it's kind of, I wasn't sure how I'd feel about it training at the same time, but, you know, living together and being on the same, we're just on the same schedule, the same everything. So it's been kind of fun. We're both eating healthy, dieting, you know, not going out. We just watch a lot of movies, rest. It's a lot different, but it's a lot nicer to have your significant other on the same kind of routine and schedule. Because now I don't, it's not like she wants to go out and eat Italian food and stuff I shouldn't be eating right now, and I gotta tell her no, or, you know, eat wrong. It's nice that we both have the same vision right now on the same track. So, yeah, she's gonna fight the week before me, so I'll be cornering her in London, and then I'll get back from London fight week.
I was gonna say, is she gonna be, like, coming back and checking out the fight with you? Like, maybe not in a corner capacity so much, but is she going to be checking out what's going on in Denver with your next fight?
Yep. Yeah, she'll be there. I've got a ton of friends and family and all kinds of people coming out. So last time I would say they like blew the roof off the place, which is why Bare Knuckle wanted to bring their first pay-per-view here. And I think this one will be even bigger because more people heard about the last one. And just from what I've heard, people around the city, like, that I don't even know, you know, mentioning it, they see a shirt that I wear or whatever, and they bring it up like, oh, I'm going to that Bare Knuckle card. I think they got a lot of buzz around this city, and Denver's a big fight town, so it should be a I think this would be the best option for them to run a pay-per-view at.
Yeah, that must be so gratifying for you, who, like I was saying from the top, very much enjoys competing in Denver a lot, and to be doing so with a card that a lot of people are saying is like the biggest in BKFC history. That must be making it doubly sweet.
It does, yeah. Like I said, you know, this is my city. I grew up here fighting and started my career here, and I mean, I can't tell you the last time I lost a fight in this city. I take that real personal. Like, this is my town. You're not going to come here and beat me.
And I guess one of the last ones here, like I was saying, oh, and you were saying also before too, about how like game planning specifically to what your opponent does isn't in your, I guess, general methodology, but from what you may have seen about Dan Spawn in terms of the X's and O's of what he does well out there, like, what do you think some of his better stylistic attributes will be that he can carry over into this fight, you think?
You know, I would say his MMA career, he was primarily a striker, mostly boxing, so the transition for him should be pretty similar. I think that he fights a lot like Bubba McDaniels did, or does. So, with Dan Spawn being a southpaw, Bubba was, I basically have already been training to fight this guy for months on end. I mean, my training camp was real similar from Bubba to Dan. I think they have a lot of similar attributes, the size, wanting to throw the check hook off a lot of things, and just things that I'm aware of, and we're both southpaw. So I've been fortunate, I guess you could say fortunate, that if you look at my career, I've actually fought a ton of southpaws. Like, a lot of people will go most of their career and fight like two. I think I fought 12, something like that. There's a lot of them. So I'm familiar with fighting both stances, and fighting doesn't really throw me off. I think that, yeah, I guess to sum that question up, is just he's real similar to Bubba, and my plan is the same.
I was going to say, I think to that point, people probably shouldn't be trying to grab a drink or popcorn at First Bank Center when all that goes down, but really appreciate getting to have you on the show, Chris. You gave a lot of great insights, but definitely want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule. And to that point, is there any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of, you know, wrapping up here?
Yeah, I mean, I would say get your tickets. If you're going to be here in Denver, I'm having an after party at Tom's Watch Bar after, so hopefully I go to that after party looking clean like I did last time. And yeah, I'd like to say thank you to obviously Tom's Watch Bar, Half Face Blaze, Levethian Defense, my sponsors for this fight, OnlyFans, all of those. And then obviously my team at Genesis.
Yeah, some great shout outs for sure, and very much going to be a great fight here at BKFC 41. And thanks so much for giving such awesome insights ahead of this Dan Spawn fight, just to reiterate. And yeah, thanks so much, man. You have a good rest of your day, and looking forward to checking out the fight on the 29th.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.